Hey, everybody, it's Paul Yeager, and this is the MTOM Show podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. Glad to have you here. Thank you so very much for watching. And if you're watching this on YouTube, which I do recommend for this episode, chances are you know today's guest, and I'll tell you more about him in just a moment, but I also want to let you know, have you gotten the sign yet? You know, you go on to markettomarket.org/donate. You can join our family, support, and this is one of the ways that we say thank you. So go to markettomarket.org/donate. See how you can get in on the Market to Market TV show. Today, we're going to be talking with an internet star who started at 14 with a YouTube channel with some friends, and it just evolved into him playing a farm simulation game, and today, more than a million subscribers later, Grant Hilbert is our guest. He's a big deal, and he's turned a YouTube life into farm life. He always kind of wanted to farm, but didn't realize how much until he went to Iowa State University. We're going to talk about life in Ankeny, Iowa, which is on the north side of Des Moines in the suburb there. And we'll get into one of the more famous residents of town. If you know anything about chemicals in the United States, you might know who we're talking about with Dennis Allbaugh, but that's what I'm hinting at in a moment. But Grant Hilbert is one of those guys. Chances are you don't know who he is, but you A, know his voice, and you know what he's up to when it comes to farm simulating. He's also now documenting how he is on the farm and farming. How did he get the land? He's got his own channel there, and many of you have gone along with his trials and errors of getting that first crop into the ground. So pretty wide-ranging topic. We do get into a little bit about business, and I want to thank you for continuing to support Market to Market, the weekly look at rural America, and this podcast, the MTOM. So thank you. Enjoy. And we'll talk to you on the other side. If you're not careful, Grant, you're going to be the most widely known agriculture person in the city of Ankeny. I mean, Dennis Allbaugh is someone that no one thought would be overpassed, but more people see you on a regular basis than they see Dennis, right?
Yeah. On, let's see here, on YouTube, we started the channel, well, it depends what YouTube channel you're talking about, but
well,
the
that's
squad.
The thing. Well, okay, so just fame. Let's just talk your fame first. Do you think if you walk down the street, people know who you are?
No, not in Ankeny.
Not in Ankeny, but you think they still might know Dennis? And I should give a little background. Dennis is a guy who made billions of dollars when a chemical went public. He was able to chemical giant. So if you ever drive through your hometown on the interstate, you see his imprint there at the golf course. So do you have a golf course yet?
I do not. No. I do not. No.
But you have some land, and we're going to get into that. But let's go back to when you're a 14-year-old kid playing around on the internet. What was going through Grant's mind about playing on the internet at 14?
So let's see how it starts. So my neighbor, it would be a neighbor down the street. We're always into YouTube, always doing YouTube things. And we had tons of channels, you know. We started a prank channel where we went to Come and Go, and I pranked the guy with, you know, a dime, trying to turn a penny into a dime, stuff like that. And so we were like, okay, well, let's start a different YouTube channel, and we started doing gaming. And so that kind of led me into a game called Farming Simulator, which I was always interested in. I was on the grandparents' farm. Dream was to farm someday. And so I played Farming Simulator for, let's see, I started that, and it got some views. And then kind of towards the end of high school, I started that sophomore year, and towards the end of high school, that channel really started taking off. And through college, I kind of made a decision to just every day post a video. So freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, post a video of Farming Simulator. And so tons and tons of viewers kind of added on, started watching, and to be honest, the main viewer, and that's why I said to your question of like, would people notice? Yeah, the main viewer is a like 13, 14-year-old country kid, in my opinion. That's just interested in agriculture and trucks and stuff like that. So that's kind of what led me to the squad channel. And then eventually in, let's see, it would have been December when I bought my first farm. That's what led me to the real life channel called Grant Hilbert. So just documenting the journey of starting farming in real life. So
when you're doing these pranks outside of the gas station, I mean, how many people are watching those videos?
That was nothing. That was a complete failure. We had like
six, you know, like six buddies are watching it over and over again. Yes. Take a look what Grant did.
Yes.
So then you kept dabbling in it. When you started doing farm simulation, first video, I mean, how many are watching?
First video, 1,000, 2,000.
How did it jump so quickly to that?
It was tough, honestly. It was kind of a grind, to be honest. I have like 1,400 videos on YouTube of farming simulator. So it was really a grind. There wasn't one video that went viral. You know, you'll talk to a lot of YouTubers and they'll have one video that went completely viral, got 1 million views. Mine was just 1,000, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 views and stuff. And along the way, you learn to step up your energy in videos. Holy crap. That thing is screaming. You know, especially when you have young kids watching, you got to step up your energy, maybe act a little bit out of the ordinary and stuff to just keep it entertaining. So it went from, you know, 1,000, 20,000, 50,000 to probably like 100,000 now. So, yeah.
So how does that relationship work with the farm simulation company versus you licensing that to or putting that out on YouTube? I mean, because my 11-year-old watches videos about Fortnite all the time. And they're similar to what your videos are, except the person is walking through playing the game and he's watching somebody play the game. People are watching you farm or start a tractor or a truck that won't start, or you're building something and you're kind of narrating it. Do I have it accurate about what it is your channel is?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. So Giants, the software company that created Farming Simulator, they love it, having all these videos on YouTube that, you know, get a lot of views. I think my most popular video is like 3 or 4 million views. And so for them, I'm basically advertising and selling a lot of copies on them. And all I'm doing is, playing the game and voicing over. And, you know, a lot of parents are like, why would you watch another guy play a video game and stuff? And the way we play Farming Simulator is a little different. It's not like a different game where you're just playing on a controller and you're playing along. For a lot of us stuff is scripted. So recently, like 2 years ago, we got into a lot of scripted stuff where we act like a farmer. And there will be another guy on the video game that runs a John Deere dealership.
The name's Buck. Work for Platte Valley Equipment here. How can we help you out there today, bud?
And us, the farmer, will go to him and we'll talk to him and we'll negotiate prices. So he's selling a John Deere, say, 8410, and he's at 90 grand. And on video, we're negotiating prices, and it kind of makes it real interesting. So we try to get as realistic as possible. You know, some older people that watch it might think, oh my gosh, this is so stupid. But for, you know, younger kids watching, it's pretty entertaining, I think. So
I think it is entertaining, and personality is really what drives a lot of the internet success for a lot of people. You're a guy, mom is in finance, dad is in agriculture, but you live in town. So why did you start farm simulating?
Well, so that goes back to when I was a kid. Both my grandparents farmed. My mom's side, they got out of farming in 2005. I think they farmed, you know, 500-600 acres, kind of a smaller farm, and they got out of farming. And then my dad's side, they were kind of a bigger farm, farmed probably 1,700 acres and always had a lot of cattle. And so, you know, a lot of weekends I would try to go up there. It wasn't always in the schedule because you had sports and stuff like that. But in the fall, spring, and summer especially, I was always trying to go up to the farm, and me and my brother would stay at grandma's. My grandpa had passed away when we were younger. So we'd stay up there. Our uncles would come over to the farm, do chores. And every second of the day, you'd want to follow your uncle around and be in the tractor and stuff like that. You know, kind of every farm kid's story. So kind of a farm kid, but wasn't always around it and stuff. So that's what got me interested in living 2 hours away from, you know, the family farm was kind of tough. And so at this point, it's kind of tough to go back and join somebody else's operation. So I was kind of, how do you start an operation, you know, locally, kind of outside of Ankeny or something. So that was my toughest challenge, I guess. So
you're deciding to do daily videos and, you know, thousands are watching, and then all of a sudden money starts to come in. You figured out how to monetize it a little bit. Why did you even go to college? Because I would imagine three years in, you would have had a pretty significant base already.
Yeah.
Why was college an option for you instead of just, I'm just going to go all in on this video thing?
Honestly, my parents, obviously, it'd make them a little mad if I didn't go to college. When you think about it, the way I did it, when you sit at home and you just play a video game, you can do it at night. And so a lot of it was from, you know, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. at night, just every single night. So with Farming Simulator, it was doable during college, and I enjoyed being around friends and taking ag classes especially. There's some awesome ag classes at Iowa State that I just enjoyed and stuff. And I was pretty productive then. Honestly, when I was going to college, I would say I was almost more productive during the day than now. Because now I'll go on Facebook and look for the next tractor or something during the middle of the day because I got my own schedule. So, but it was tough, and it was something you could do during college. Now, let's see. Now, if I'm doing real life videos, so going out and filming real life videos, that takes, to make one video, it takes 2 or 3 working days, you know, compared to a farm sim, I could sit down and record a video in 3 hours. So it was doable going to college for sure. So
Iowa State was where you went. What was the, you know, was it just a simple ag business? Was it something specific you wanted?
No, it was the normal ag biz and then pick up an economics degree at the end. So ag biz and economics. Yeah.
All right. So when you get to Iowa State and you start introducing yourself to people, did they know who you were?
No.
No, they didn't?
No. There would be some agriculture kids that have played Farm Sim and, you know, in your grade, and you would tell them, hey, I play Farm Sim and stuff. And they're like, oh, you're that guy, because my face is never on it. They're like, oh, you're that guy that does the Farm Sim videos and stuff. So some friends would watch, but no, I never really had my face in too many videos. So yeah.
And then of those guys and gals that you met, how many of them now or then in college became stars or parts of your channel? Did you ever incorporate somebody else and expand the cast a little bit?
I had a couple friends that recorded, and you know, we'd play farming, and then they would jump in and record with me. You know, I'd be in the combine and they would be in the grain cart in the game, obviously, and they would definitely play with me. Yeah, but not too many. It was a lot of random people that you just meet online that kind of jump in on the channel and recording videos. Not too many friends from college. So yeah.
You get to graduation and what are you thinking at that point? I mean, is still the goal in college, even through 4 years or 5 years? I don't know how long it took you to get through. Are you still going, yeah, I still want my own farm. I want to do this for real. I want my fingers to get dirty. Or are you thinking something else?
That's really the weird thing, because a lot of times towards the end of college and in college, you have advisors pushing you like, what are you going to do? You got to be doing internships. You got to be getting this job. And so for me, I kind of always knew like YouTube's easily full-time income. I can easily do this, but you don't want to go out and say, oh my God, I'm all set. I'm all set and ready to roll type of thing. So I was kind of just telling people, yeah, I'm probably going to do YouTube and hope to start a farm someday. And so, honestly, so I graduated in May 2020, and I put the first offer on first farm in May 2020, I think. So from there, it's super tough to figure out, how are you going to start farming? Do you buy the infrastructure? You know, where do you farm at? And so I kind of chose a place and a farm that was in probably one of the worst farms in the county, essentially. And so I was like, okay, well, we can make some money farming the operation, which is kind of a small amount of money, but a lot of the money you can make for the farm is cleaning up the farm. And maybe if you go buy a farm somewhere else a little bit closer to home, then you got more equity to buy for more land. So some of the money can come from grain, and some of the money can come from cleaning up farms. So that's kind of my thought and how I was going to get started, kind of on a little smaller budget. So
Because again, you're starting from scratch. No
yep.
equipment.
Yep.
And no land that you can even, you know, wedge in on and tell your dad or your mom or your, you know, your uncle and say, okay, I think if we head this direction, we can make enough money. And many operators who in your similar situation have said, there's no room for you in this operation unless you figure out a new way to make us some money. Cause there's, we cannot split this pie yep. to keep everybody happy. So that's, are you dealing with banks or are yes. you, so when you tell them where your money comes from, what was the first banker reaction to you?
He was, and he's still my banker today. He's real interested in it, and he thinks it's pretty cool. So, yeah, he's nothing crazy reaction, but yeah, he's tries to be real professional, of course, yeah. and stuff. And
what's your equity? Well, I got this PC and a microphone. Well, no, seriously, that's what I have, and I've got 1.19 million subscribers.
Yes.
Oh, yep. right. I mean, yep. that's got to yep. be a fun conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, that's essentially how it went and stuff. And so it's all, that's the thing. My equity is essentially all digital. It's all digital. And, you know, towards the middle of college, I got real interested in Bitcoin. And so telling a banker that, hey, my equity, some of my assets are in Bitcoin, this, you know, to some people, magical internet money is real interesting too. So talking to a banker like that. So,
all right. So yeah. Have you started a Bitcoin channel too?
No, I do have, some equity in a Bitcoin mining farm in Northeast Iowa, kind of around Grundy Center. So okay. We got a wind farm out there and we're mining Bitcoin out there. So yeah,
you got it dipped all over the place.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting. It's fun. So yeah.
Okay, so you graduate in 2020. You put an offer on a farm in 2020. When did you finally connect and get a physical piece of land, and how did that process work out?
That was kind of tough, actually, because, you know, you're buying your first piece of ground, and honestly, like a lot of people, when you're investing in assets, you know, the thing is leave all the emotion out of it. It's an investment, but buying the first farm, there was definitely a lot of emotion and buying the first farm, you know, you're kind of eager to get it. So that was a deal where it was a 5-month process and working with the seller was liquidating some assets. And so I didn't end up purchasing that farm until it would be December 2020 is when we closed. We had the offer accepted like May and June, but December 2020 is when we first officially closed on that farm. So yeah.
It took a while. Not an yeah. easy sale. Yeah. Now, this is a piece of land that is not in your backyard or 10 minutes away. It's a haul. So
yeah.
Why did you decide that was a good idea?
That was the thing. I was like, okay, well, this is, nobody wants this ground. You know, it was, I bought it for $2,700 an acre, like for farm ground. Obviously there's some timber and stuff. And I was like, well, if I can get this at the right price, I can definitely put a lot of sweat equity into cleaning it up with a skid steer and making this a better farm. And honestly, from the looks of it, like marketing, it probably doesn't sell as farm ground. It probably more sells as a recreational property with 70 tillable acres and 120 total acres. So my thought was clean it up as a recreational property. And then I was like, okay, well, if I got this farm, I'm just going to farm the acres. I'm going to add a couple more acres around the area, you know, if I can get the right farm. So after that, I bought one farm in December and another farm here at auction in March. And so kind of been just adding on to the area. I definitely don't want to buy too much ground in the area, but would love to eventually get closer to Ankeny and put a lot of sweat equity into these farms and kind of clean it up real nice.
Because you're more than an hour from your land, right?
Yep.
So then are you storing equipment down there?
Yeah. I got I call it the organic shed. I just got a gravel lot and just put all the equipment on the lot there. So, yeah.
And how often are you getting down there?
Probably 2 or 3 times a week. Yeah. And so it is kind of tough to where after you're done and you get done at 9 or 10, do you drive back to Ankeny? Or do you stay at a hotel? And recently, the past week when I was planting, I just I was just like, I am so tired. I'm just going to grab a hotel quick and then hit it right in the morning. So eventually I'd like to get a camper or something, put it out there. So that'd be the dream.
So this should be my first day planting ever.
Planting your first crop. What was that like?
That was interesting because I honestly kind of thought I knew exactly how everything was going to go. You know, you were around the farm, but I was actually never around the farm, grandparents' farm, during planting time. So I thought I had it all kind of figured out, and there was a lot of struggles, mainly me being not prepared. I was going to plant corn Monday. I was like, okay, this will be simple. I just need to get a cultivator, prep the soil. I'm going to get that cultivator Saturday, cultivate it Sunday, plant Monday. And with farming, this is one of the things I'm learning, that, you know, you buy that cultivator and the hitch doesn't fit in, or the hydraulics aren't working because it's an old 40 series style hydraulics. And I didn't have the ISO ones. And so that was delayed 2 days. And then finally I got planting, and luckily when planting, it was simple. I had no breakdowns. That was pretty simple. And I did have a local farmer that came out and really helped me get that planter set. So that was super nice.
And where's your equipment coming from?
So I'm just buying it out of the blue. So that's one of the things on YouTube that I want to document. You know, when I go and buy a tractor, record the phone call on the salesman buying the tractor and stuff, because I think starting from scratch, that's pretty cool. Like, just grabbing equipment from buying the equipment and kind of piling it all on. So, yeah.
Well, the easy question here is, how different is the real life versus what you've simulated?
Oh, it's a lot tougher in real life, obviously.
But did the simulator help you for the real life?
It'd be cool to say yes, but not really. It's real. I mean, real life's just totally different. In simulator, you just go to the dealer, you purchase the equipment. And the biggest thing we're talking here is the money, you know, to obviously afford a $50,000-$60,000 tractor and planter and stuff like that. So
a little bit of equipment at a time. Yep. What are we talking for acreage here? I mean, you mentioned 120, but only 70 was tillable, and you picked up a couple other farms. So what's your total? What are you close to?
Yep. So over the past couple months, I've bought in 370 acres with 250 tillable acres on there. So that's what I'm farming. And it's honestly, I was thinking to myself the other day after I got done planting, I don't know how guys are able to farm like 1,000 or two, even though that's normal, 1,000 or 2,000 acres. Keep in mind, I didn't have any auto steer or anything, but it's a lot more than you expect, I guess. So
when you put yourself out there and you document, maybe vacuum didn't get turned on, or maybe the hydraulic didn't fit, or maybe, what do I, my rows are nowhere near straight. You're putting yourself out there. Do you feel very vulnerable right there?
Not really. Honestly, it's really tough to say this, but everybody's super nice on the internet. From what I've seen on my channel, you know, usually you get a lot of haters and stuff on the internet, but I mean, everybody's super nice. There's been very few comments that are even like, wow, you suck at this, or anything like that. I mean, the worst hated comment I got is this guy's an idiot. He locks his tractor at night. You know, that's the worst. I'm like, I'm so shocked and stuff. I haven't got many hatred comments and stuff. And I know eventually you will, as you get more popular and stuff, you'll definitely get more people on there. So
Grant, so you're not supposed to read the comments, but I'm sure you have to.
Oh yeah, I do. I try to reply to every comment. So,
well, that's good. So simulating real life, I mean, yes, they're different. But they're the same. It's still about agriculture, and it's still about trying to feed the world. Do you feel that it's been worth it so far to go through this journey? I mean, you probably don't even have the corn up yet.
Corn just came up. I got to share a picture. I got to show you a picture or something.
Okay.
But it's pretty exciting. But no, part of it that makes it worth it too is the fact that I'm on YouTube and kind of document it. Like, when you think about, you know, as far as monetary, is it worth it to go in farming? A lot of guys have to decide, do I quit my job or do I sacrifice a lot of the weekends to get this little gain in farming? Obviously, some years could be big, some years could be small, but it's really a tough decision. And I kind of knew going into this that it's maybe a little more easier decision because I have a YouTube channel that's very strong and can also start another YouTube channel documenting it. So it's a whole another business on top of farming, essentially. So documenting that YouTube channel is probably going to be more income that than that comes off the farm from the grain side, is how I think about it. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was going to get into grain marketing in a minute. since you've opened that door, I mean, how much pre-sold? Have you sold anything ahead? Do you feel confident enough to forward contract anything at these prices today?
I haven't. At my local elevator, let's see, October, December is just hit $6, I think. So that's pretty crazy. I haven't done anything. I know it's probably bad. I need to be thinking about that. But I haven't done any hedging or forward contracting or anything. So
that's all right. Have you done simulation with hedging and anything like that? And
I did in some ag marketing classes, but a lot of that stuff is honestly kind of forgot. So
yeah, no. Oh, so you did it only in class in college.
You haven't done that
on the channel yet or anything like that.
No, no.
Okay. Do you consider yourself full time? What's your full time on your LinkedIn profile? What's the line say? What's the order?
Let's see. The order would be the Squad YouTube channel is definitely full time job. And then honestly, let's see, there's a couple projects kind of working on that. It's like eventually it'll provide income type of thing. So
yeah.
Squad YouTube channel, and then working on a software company. That's, I can't say anything about it yet, but it'll kind of go along with the YouTube channels and stuff like that. So we got four or five developers on the team that we're working every night towards it. I don't do any of the coding myself. That's some tough stuff, but I kind of just guide the project essentially. And then kind of Bitcoin investor and the Bitcoin mine farm is a big part of my day essentially. And all that is just reading and reading more about Bitcoin essentially. So, and then obviously the third YouTube channel. So, yeah.
So are you in Dogecoin too?
No. I stay out of that. Okay.
Whoa, stay out of it. You're in Bitcoin. That realm. How can you say one is better than the other?
Yes. So Doge, this might be a little off topic, but Doge is real interesting in the fact that it's an altcoin, alternative to Bitcoin. And it's the only altcoin that just truly admits we're a joke and there's nothing to this. And that's what's so fascinating about Doge, I think, is that they're the only altcoin that just says, yeah, we're just a joke coin. So
okay, fair enough. Yeah. So then,
Paul, have you bought any?
No, I haven't. I haven't bought any of them. I work with one of our producers, Josh Bittner. He does follow Bitcoin. We've been talking about it for years.
Really?
About is this a commodity? Is this something we need to cover? You know, it's that debate. So then, would your first line be called entrepreneur? Could you call yourself that? I mean,
kind of.
And you're a business owner too. I mean, frankly, you're, I'm guessing just like your farm is an LLC, probably your YouTube channel has to be set up that way too.
Yes.
On a business side of things. So you're how many, you're not even, I guess they just had Iowa State graduation last weekend. So you're a year out from graduating, business owner. You mentioned you've got developers working for you. You now own land and you farmed your first crop. I'd say it's been a good first year.
Yeah. It's been interesting. I thought I was going to be the most busiest time was going to be during college and doing YouTube around college. And I was like, okay, after college, kind of wind down, just do YouTube full time type of thing. And then some other opportunities came up along with the software company and kind of the Bitcoin industry. So this moment right now is probably one of the craziest times of my life. As far as the entrepreneur thing, That's a cool privilege, I feel like, to be called an entrepreneur. I don't know if YouTube is exactly that, being an entrepreneur, but maybe some of the other companies I'm trying to start would be considered. So, yeah.
Because I think of 14-year-olds, again, I'll go back to my kids, they would love to be YouTube stars.
Yep.
But how do you put that out there? I mean, you know, we were kind of joking about viral videos before this. You can't just set out to make a viral video. You just have to try and hope that it connects with somebody. They don't teach that at Iowa State or Stanford or on how to become viral. You just, it's a lot of, it's like luck, opportunity, hard work and met with opportunity and, you know, it might just pop.
Yeah. It's a lot of luck to be honest. And you got to be interested in addicting. I know some kids that want to be a YouTuber that just kind of want to be a YouTuber. And then there's some kids that are crazy interested in it and really work their butts off to do it. And it's one of those things where you have to stick with it over a multiple year period to really eventually get it. And some people get real lucky. Their first video will go viral or something like that. And I definitely had a lot of luck along the way doing that. But for example, have you seen YouTube Mr. Beast? Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah, my kids talk about Mr. Beast all the time.
Okay. So it would have been sophomore year, I was able to get on a chat with him. Me and my best friend got on a chat with him. He was at like a million subscribers, and now he's at like 50 million subscribers right now. And after you're done talking with him, it's like, this guy is so addicted to YouTube, and he studies every little thing about a thumbnail, about a video. I mean, it is crazy how much time and effort he puts into studying how his videos are produced. And now you look at him today, 3 years later, and he's at 50 million. He's got like 50 million subscribers, and every video gets like 30 or 40 million views. And it's like, wow, you know, he puts a lot of effort and studies everything about YouTube. And so I think that's one of the biggest keys probably too.
Well, you mentioned who your audience was. I have a feeling you know who your audience is. You've probably seen your analytics.
Yep.
It's still is it still consistent with what it was?
My audience is actually 30 and 40 year old moms is what most of my audience says on Google and YouTube. But that's because the kids that are like 12 and 13 are on their mom's accounts. Yep.
Yeah. And the ages, or the ages fabricated just to get them to get a channel or to get a login that they surf under or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying I know how that works, or maybe an age gets changed to one of the parents, but the birth date's the same. I'm just saying.
Exactly. And with the real life YouTube channel, I wanted to have something that was entertaining and maybe a 30 or 40 year old or 60 year old person that could watch. And I'm not annoying them to death with being, you know, all crazy and excited on YouTube. So that's kind of where I was really wanting to go with YouTube. But, the real life is have kids that could watch, but also have adults that could watch too and have it be entertained for them.
So I'll go back to entrepreneur for a minute, because you are trying to figure out what works best for that business, that line. And you're always thinking about what's new. You've developed a second channel, then a third channel, and then, you know, the software thing that's coming later. And then the actual farming of things. So you're full-time a media titan with a part-time farmer. I mean, at some point, would you like to flip it, be a full-time farmer with all this other stuff on the side?
That'd be great eventually. Like when you're old, to be full-time farming and then maybe just still documenting the real life farm, you know, that would be eventually the dream. Yeah. To eventually just be full-time farmer. Yeah.
Who do you know of in agriculture that has documented a lot of their farm work in real life that you've watched, interacted with, things like that?
Yeah. So probably two of the biggest inspirations was one, Zach Johnson, the millennial farmer in Minnesota. He honestly does YouTube perfect, in my opinion. He's real fast paced with his videos. He's got awesome thumbnails. He's super entertaining. He's a huge inspiration. And then Cole, one of my friends, he's in central Iowa here, and he does an awesome job on YouTube documenting the journey of his farm too. His channel is Cole the Corn Star. So yeah, those guys have been huge. And then you watch anybody that's on YouTube sharing their farm, I'm addicted to watching their videos. That's what I enjoy watching. So, yeah.
So you have a lot of screen time.
Yes.
Yeah, watching a lot of those things.
Yes.
With Cole, I think what I've heard about him is that he's a YouTube guy first, and that's helped kept the farm going. I mean, that's yep. provided that off-farm income instead of working maybe as a nurse like my mom was. You know, she worked off the farm to help keep our farm going. It's not the first time that that's happened at a farm, and that's realistic. Do you think in 10, 20, maybe 30 years, farming looks more the way you do it or the way that we think traditionally it is? Everything is on the farm. 100% of the effort and focus is on the farm with no outside income. Or do you think we're going to be a whole lot of, I'm not even going to say hobby farm because it's not a hobby for you. It's a passion.
Meaning, okay, explain that again.
So do you think there's going to be more people like you who do a full-time job with a little bit of side farm versus a lot of farmers today are 100% everything they do is on that 1,000 to 10,000 acres and they don't take an off-farm job?
Yeah, no, it that's kind of where it comes down to an expert of farm finances and stuff, and I'm not that expert, but it seems like it is heading into the world where my whole thought of this is farming is so fun and so many people are passionate and fun to do it to where they'll sacrifice over time less and less income off the farm just to be less and less income coming from the farm just to be farming, which means obviously taking outside jobs to do it. That's kind of what happens with me. Obviously, I can't go into farming and be super profitable or make a super amount of money. All of the off-farm income is what's keeping my small farm alive. And that's what's going to keep it growing in the future, essentially. So yeah, if farming was, you know, 50s, 40s, where everybody was, it's hard manual labor, I'm sure it would be a lot more profitable in a sense. But I think over time, farming is going to become more and more fun. And you're going to have a lot more people trying to enter and trying to stay alive by taking off-farm jobs, I'd assume.
And therefore, you might have more farmers, just not as big of farmers.
Yes.
Because frankly, if you're going to jump all in, you can't just jump in at the 5,000 acre level. No bank would, they would laugh you out no matter how much income you have coming in from somewhere else.
And what's interesting is kind of the land story of land prices versus real wages is, I think it's, I mean, we're already getting to the point where land is so scarce and so tough that it's probably going to be owned by the elite rich. And that's going to be interesting to where you're probably already seeing it now, but there's probably going to be a lot of big farms that rent 99% of their ground, it seems like, and it's going to filter into hands of a lot of the wealthy is what it seems like it's going to be doing, especially from the macro environment we're in now. It seems like a lot of investors are going to be coming in, but yeah.
All right, Grant, look ahead in 10 years. What does your situation look like? Are you still doing the things you're doing and that you have done for the last few years in the sense of other projects and farming? Are you going to have land closer to home? Are you going to have to expand where you've bought? I mean, you got to have I'm sure you've got some type of plan out there.
Yeah, I'd love to just own a small farm closer to home. You know, nothing crazy, just kind of part-time farming and just closer to home and actually have a little bit of infrastructure. So definitely want to kind of stay small and do everything myself with my brother. My brother helps me a lot. So just, you know, small farm closer to home. Closer to home is eventually really where I'd love to be, closer to Ankeny. So
that's all right. Okay. Grant, I appreciate it. I think this is, I'm glad that you took time to take care of us little people here because, you know, you're kind of a big deal on the internet.
Yeah, no, you guys aren't little. You guys are giant. We're small on YouTube. You guys are, it's two different worlds.
Yeah.
It really is. YouTube's more, a lot more kids watching and stuff. This is more adult, I feel like. So yeah, no, I appreciate jumping on and stuff. And it was awesome talking to you, Paul.
Do you think, I'm going to talk to a couple of the folks that I know that listen on a regular basis. Yep. They're not like you or me. They're a little bit older or they're a little bit younger and they still want to be involved in agriculture. Do you think you're inspiring other people? Like if I'm a 50-year-old farmer on a dairy, am I going, I'm sure I've already had the thought of, you know, I should document what I'm doing. I think some people might be interested in that.
I think the greatest opportunity ever is to just document your farm, no matter who you are. And in my opinion, I know it sounds so cliche and stuff, but personally, selfishly, it'd be kind of cool, especially being young. You know, if there's, say there's a farmer out there that's 50 or 60, imagine if he recorded himself farming when he was 20. And by the time he's 80, he could like show his grandchildren the daily life of their farm and how it grew from when he was 20 years old to 80 years old. And, you know, when you're retired, you could go back and look back at those videos when you're 20 or 30 years old. I think that's pretty cool. And so I don't know. There's a huge opportunity in documenting the farm, I feel like.
Yeah. Do it in any way that you can. All right.
Yes.
Grant Hilbert, thank you so very much for the time. I appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks, Paul.
My thanks to Grant Hilbert for his time and his YouTube channel. I'd say good luck to him, but I think he's doing just fine. And we appreciate you watching us. Hit me up with feedback, paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. Thank you for watching, listening, or reading, and have a great week.